Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather. Whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 8. At that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. They knew very well he wouldn't. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man shall hear the sound, that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews who now has set over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I like their Hebrew names better. The Hebrew names gave glory to God. Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael. These pagan names gave glory to pagan deities. These men have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods. In his rage and fury, he commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They brought these men before the king. Verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true? O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, no worship the golden image which I've set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye shall fall down and worship the image which I've made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast into the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is, read me the next two words, that God. Who is, say it. That God. That God. Not real respectful. Our president had a little tiff with our governor, the governor of Michigan, and referred to as that woman in Michigan. Wasn't being real kind. When Franklin Delano Roosevelt was in the White House for almost 3 terms, there were people who wouldn't even speak his name. They'd talk about that man in Washington. Who is that God? That shall deliver you out of my hands. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If so be, read me the next two words.
Our God.
Our God. I want to talk to you about this thought tonight. That God is our God.
Amen.
Say that with me, would you please? That God is our God. He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, verse 18, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. That's kind of overkill. It's hard enough to kill you. I don't really care if I'm shot once in the head or 7 times. I don't think the last 6 are going to affect me too much. But he's going to make it 7 times hotter. The Bible says he commanded these mighty men, the most mighty men that was in his army, to bind Shadrach, Meshach, verse 20, and Abednego, and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these 3 men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the 4th, say with me, is like the Son of God. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are our God. And I thank you that we can always depend on you. I thank you we can trust our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this good church, this fine pastor. What a wonderful ministry is being conducted for your glory here. And I want to be a help to them. But I can help them no more than you help me. So please guide me and empower me and direct me and make this a time that draws our hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Nebuchadnezzar knew something of the God of the Jews. Back in chapter 2, he had a dream and he couldn't remember the dream. And he said to his wise men, "Hey, I forgot a dream. Tell me what I dreamed and tell me what it means." Well, they said, "Well, if you tell us what the dream was, we can tell what it means." And he said, "No, you got to tell me what the dream was because I forgot." Well, they said, "We can't tell you." He said, "Okay, then I'm going to cut you in pieces and make your house a dunghill." That was his favorite punishment. Cut you in pieces and make your house a dunghill. Again, once you've been cut in pieces, you're not going to care much what they do with your house. And Daniel heard about it. He was one of the kind of low-grade counselors to the king. And he said, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" And he went in and he asked his fellow servants to pray. And he said to the king, "Here's the dream and here's what it means." Wow. The king said, "I know that your God is a revealer of secrets." He knew something about God. Not a whole lot. And there was one that Nebuchadnezzar regarded more highly than the God of the Jews, and that was himself. He just had a successful military campaign against Israel and Syria. He's come back. His armies have been victorious. His treasuries are prosperous. His people are obsequious. He liked it like that. He ruled by threats and intimidation. And he decides to set up a big old 90-foot image in the plain of Dura where everybody can see it. And he says, "Y'all have to bow down." Notice the demand. The demand begins with an impressive extravaganza. They've got everybody who's anybody is there. They got all kind of musicians. And everybody has to gather. And here's this immense image 90 feet high in the air. And he says, "All right, when you hear the music, you have to bow down." An impressive extravaganza for his demand. An inclusive expectation. Who has to bow down? Who has to bow down? What's he? Everybody. Everybody. If you don't, you'll be thrown into a burning, fiery furnace. I don't know how a furnace could be burning and not be fiery, but that's another issue. Now, I don't think Nebuchadnezzar really expected much opposition. You see, only the Jews at this time were monotheistic. The other religions had many gods, and it was okay to add some gods to your gods. Nebuchadnezzar said, "You can have your God, and he can reveal secrets, and I appreciate the help that he gives me, but you know, you got to worship my God too." The Roman Empire would do the same thing some centuries later when they said, "You can have a statue to Jesus, you can believe in it, you can pray to him. I do the same thing, but every year you got to take a pinch of salt and offer it to an image of Caesar and acknowledge that Caesar is Lord." It's all right if you have other gods as long as you worship our God. The demand. And then we see the disobedience. Bible scholars tell us there were approximately 10,000 Jews in Babylon at this time. And three of them didn't bow down. That's not 3 out of 100, that'd be 3%. That's not 3 out of 1,000. That'd be 0.3. It'd be 0.03. No, it's 0.003%. 3 out of 10,000. Hey, don't you ever listen to somebody say, "Well, our pastor is just a little bit narrow. And, you know, there's a lot of other people and they love the Lord. And we're just not as strict. They're just not as strict as we are. And I just don't know why we can't have some of this dancing music. And I don't know why he preaches so hard about all this stuff. And I mean, the whole majority is different." Yeah. 9,997 of the Jews there were wrong. So, they come and tell on him. Nebuchadnezzar didn't notice. Big crowd like that, and he didn't see the three were not bowing down. By the way, nobody noticed them until they just kept standing when everybody else bowed down. You know, we get some criticism now for using the King James Bible. They call some of them, say we're cultish. And they have all kinds of things to say about us. I got a question. How come you didn't tell me that 50 years ago? Nobody said then I was a cultish person for using the King James Bible. No, you know what happened? We just kept standing when you all bowed down. We haven't done anything any different. They just kept on standing. And what really bothered these Chaldeans was, hey, there are these Jews and they're not going along with us. That's what drives the world crazy about God's people. You can come to church, except during COVID. You can sing your songs. You can pray your prayers as long as you still bow down to us. That's why Hillary Clinton, in her thankfully unsuccessful run for the U.S. presidency, said when it comes to abortion, religious beliefs will have to change. That's why Pete Buttigieg said when he ran for president more recently that those churches that would not hire homosexuals would not deserve to be given a tax-exempt status. I sat as close as I am to this gentleman here in the front row behind our attorney general and her wife at the governor's first State of the State address. I was invited to pray for the opening of the House of Representatives. Part of our House of Representatives is led by a speaker who's 31 years old, a fine Christian, independent, fundamental Baptist, solid as can be, Lee Chatfield, I think, and hope he'll be our governor someday. And I heard our governor talk about equal rights in hiring for the LGBTQ community. And she said this. She said, no exceptions. That wasn't just a little phrase. The Republican House and the Republican Senate had said, look, we don't want to amend the Civil Rights Bill to include LGBTQ people. But if you do it, we might go along with it if you'll grant an exception for religious organizations. You know, she said, I don't care what your Bible says. I don't care what you believe. I don't care what your religious convictions are. You're going to have to do it the way we do it. You got to bow down to our image. The disobedience. And then you see the defiance. Now, the three Hebrew children were not defiant. They just stood. That's all they did. Didn't wave any banners. Didn't paint any things on the street. Didn't kneel during the national anthem. I'm done with the NBA. I'm done. Promotes communism at home and abroad. Marxism. Denies freedom. And that twit they got for a commissioner. My goodness. No. This was the king who was defiant. It was personal. The Bible says Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, his defiance was prideful. He said, you got to bow down to the image that I have set up. I said you got to bow. I put the image up. You got to bow. But it was problematic because Nebuchadnezzar made it a contest between him and God. Who is that God that will be able to deliver you out of my hand? His defiance is followed by a declaration. The three Hebrew children said, we are going to believe God. It's a declaration of faith. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, which thou hast prepared, and he will deliver us, O King. But it was a declaration not only of faith, but of fortitude. They said, but if not, we're still not going to bow down. Now you understand, I like the stories in the Bible about God giving victory to his people. I love it. I love David killing Goliath. I love Daniel in the lion's den. I love the sun standing still and Joshua winning the victory. I love 185,000 Syrians waking up dead. That's what it says. When they woke up in the morning, they're all dead corpses. It's bad to wake up dead. You don't want that to happen. But if not, I love Hebrews 11. The Bible says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, stopped the mouths of lions, women received their dead back to life again. And then it says, and others. Others are sawn asunder. Others wandered about naked and destitute, clothed in sheepskins and goatskins. And then it says, of whom the world was not worthy, but these all died in faith. Hey, sometimes we see God do an act of great deliverance and He takes us away from the fire. And sometimes He takes us through the fire, but He's always God and He's always good. And we'll always stand up for our God. You see, they said, in essence, King Nebuchadnezzar, you know a little bit about our God, but you don't know our God. Oh, you know He can deliver us, or you can answer a dream, but you're about to see that He can do a whole lot more than that. See, our God is the God that parted the Red Sea, and all the armies, all the children of Israel walked across on dry ground, and then He let the waters come together and drowned Pharaoh and his armies. Our God sustained 1,200,000 Jewish adults 40 years across the wilderness. Our God made the sun stand still in the valley of Elah. Our God spoke the world into existence. You don't really know our God. That God you don't think exists. That God you think is nowhere. That God that you think is incapable of delivering anybody from your fiery furnace. That God is our God. And so I say to our increasingly secular society, to the smug, self-satisfied journalists who look down their Ivy League educated noses at anybody who dares to believe the Bible is the literal Word of God, I say to the power-hungry politicians who love to exert control and rob us of and erode our freedoms, I say to the delusional people out there who think they are large and in charge and in control, you go ahead, huff and puff all you want to do your worst, but you don't know our God. And then I notice a deliverance. Now, things get worse at first. That happens sometimes. He heats the furnace 7 times hotter than it was wont, the Bible says, to be heated. It's so hot that the people who throw them in die. What happens? Well, the first thing we notice, they get freedom. They're bound and they get thrown in the furnace, and the only thing burns is their bonds. Hallelujah. How about that? Hey, do you know God doesn't always do things our way? His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. I mean, I would think the best way to have revival come would be to have absolute freedom to preach the gospel. There were 3 to 4 million Christians in China when the communists took over. Chiang Kai-shek and his government were deposed. And now they tell me there are somewhere around 80, maybe 90 million Christians. They think in a few years there'll be 100 million Bible-believing Christians in the land of China. Not by percentage, but by number. China will be the most Christian nation in the world. That's under communism. That's meeting in secret. That's being thrown in jail. Hey, you can't stop the gospel by government. Our churches started in secret. Our founders met in catacombs. Our leaders met in little houses. They fled from another country to come to here to have religious freedom. And you may see the fire get really hot, but God's probably going to use it to burn your bonds. And then they had fellowship. The form of the fourth was like the Son of God. Well, they're walking around, they're loose, their clothes don't burn, their hats don't burn, their cloaks and garments don't burn, the bonds burn, and not only are they free in the fire, Jesus is with them in the fire. Can I remind you, Jesus is always with you. He's with you all the time, but you'll appreciate His presence sometimes a whole lot more when you get in the middle of the fire. And then they're given favor. You read down to verse 28. And they get promoted. Verse 29 says, every nation, people, language which speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be, here it is, cut in pieces. And their houses shall be made a dunghill. Because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. You see, we really don't need to focus on all that's going on in our society nearly as much as we need to focus on our God. They're very disdainful. They say, who is that God? But our message is, that God is our God. Say that with me. That God is our God. Say it again. That God is our God. Who is that God that will stop the LGBTQ people from shutting down the churches of Jesus Christ? Who is that God that is going to help us to reach people and build Bible-believing churches in this terrible and evil and immoral society? Who is that God that is going to keep you safe when the fires rage? Who is that God that will provide for you? Who is that God that will protect you? Who is that God that is more powerful than the king? Who is that God that is present with you in the trial? Well, I'll tell you, say it. That God is our God. I'm glad that God is our God. Oh, our society knows a little bit about our God, but they don't know our God. They don't know how he comforts us in our hours of deepest despair. They don't know how he never leaves or forsakes us. They don't know how his word encourages us. They do not know the absolute limitless power that he possesses, the authority that is his sovereign control over all the events of the universe. The Bible says he was before all things, speaking of the Lord Jesus, and by him all things consist. That word consist means to hold together. Scientists, you know, don't give science too much grief. Every once in a while they catch up with the Bible. Used to think they could number the stars. Ptolemy, I think, thought there were 777, and Brahe thought there was 1,004. But the Bible says you go look and see if you can number the stars. Right. You can't do it. And then they invented the telescope, and they said, oops. Right. You used to think the earth was flat. Right. They told Columbus, don't go too far, you'll fall off the edge. But the Bible says it is he that sitteth on the circle of the earth. And after a while, they caught up with the Word of God. They used to think the earth had to rest on something. The concept of something hanging by gravitational force in space was foreign to them. They thought the earth rested some of them on a giant turtle. Dr. Harry James was talking one night, and a lady said, Dr. James, you said the earth hung in space. The earth rests on the back of a giant turtle. He thought he'd let her down gently. He said, well, what does that turtle rest on? She said, another bigger turtle. Well, does that turtle rest on another bigger turtle? He said, what does that turtle rest on? And she very smugly replied, it's no use, Dr. James. It's turtles all the way down. Down to what? Hey, but the Bible says he hangeth the earth upon nothing. And science recently discovered that there's not just a neutron and a proton and an electron in the atom. They discovered, I think it's called the Higgs boson particle. And they said it's what holds everything else together. They called it the God particle. Give them chance. Every once in a while, they catch up with the Word of God. Our God, if our God stopped doing what he does, if he stopped being for one instant, and the planets would dissolve and the stars would burn out and the universe would implode. That God is our God. Amen. So don't get too upset. Your job's the same either way. Did you know that? I'm just getting so upset every time I watch the news. Well, turn it off. Read your Bible. I've gone 6 months without watching anything on the news. And I exercise. I do 3 to 6 hours a week on an elliptical machine. I have to tell people that because they would never suspect so otherwise. But I'm getting pretty good at it. I'm about to start moving the pedals. And I like to watch something on the TV to help take my mind off the pain. And when you don't watch news, you wind up watching people catch alligators. Some strange stuff like that. But I'll tell you what, it never mattered to me that when I missed the news, I didn't miss anything. It's all going to be there later on. I think you ought to vote. I think you ought to be salt and light. I think you ought to care about your community. But don't let it personally upset you, because God is aware of everything that's going on, and nobody's going to alter his plan. And I read the last chapter of the book, and the good guys win, and we are on the winning side. There is a God that governs, Benjamin Franklin said, in the affairs of men. And that God is our God. That God that got Peter and James out of jail and had them preaching at the same spot the next day, that God is our God. That God that guided the sling of a shepherd boy to put the stone at the only unprotected spot of the Philistine giant's armor and killed Goliath, that God is our God. That God that used 300 unarmed, untrained Israelites to defeat 135,000 Midianites, say with me, that God is our God. That God that slayed 185 25,000 Syrians while they slept. That God is our God. That God that took Daniel and protected him overnight in a den of hungry lions, so hungry that when they threw the people who had accused Daniel into the den the next day, they were all snapped up and eaten before they even hit the ground. And by the way, God's just as able to take care of the rats that nibble at us these days as he was the bureaucrats in Daniel's days. That God is our God. John G. Patton went to the New Hebrides Islands, November of 1858. An older Christian, Mr. Dixon, said, "Don't you go there. They're all cannibals," and they were. He said, "Your body will be eaten by cannibals." Patton said, "Mr. Dixon, you're an elderly man. It's pretty soon that your body's going to be eaten by worms." He said, "It matters not to me whether my body is eaten by worms or cannibals. I shall have just as fine a glorified body of the resurrection as you shall." He went. Tough. They were cannibals. Tried to kill him on numerous occasions. He had a son born February 12th. The son died 19 days later. And I'm sorry, the 19 days after the son was born, his wife died, Mary. And 17 days after that, the son died. And John G. Patton had to sleep on their graves to keep the cannibals from digging them up and eating them. One time, there was a vicious chief with some warriors that come around Patton's hut, and he knew they were going to try to kill him and eat him. But they never bothered him. About a year later, the chief had gotten saved and was living for the Lord Jesus. And Patton said, "Hey, that night you came by, you never did attack me. Why didn't you?" He said, "Well, I couldn't. You had 100 soldiers with sharp swords surrounding your hut. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." Patton lived long enough to see the entire island of Aniwa converted to Christ and most of the New Hebrides become Bible-believing Christians. Charles Darwin, when he journeyed on the Beagle and wrote his totally unscriptural and unscientific Evolution of Species, came to the New Hebrides island, and when he observed them, he said this, "I do not believe in God. But if I were to believe in God, it would be because of what I've seen in the New Hebrides Islands." You see, it said that when John Patton went to the New Hebrides Islands, they're all cannibals and not a single Christian. And when he left there and when he died, they're all Christians and not a single cannibal. And that God is our God. Who is that God? The sovereign scoffed in anger, scorn, and rage. That can remove you from the fire, your pain and hurt assuage. Who is that God that can deliver three unbowing men, release their bonds, protect from burning, set them free again? Your God reveals my dreams and makes you strong and wise, it's true, but I'm the king. And there are things I know your God can't do. My furnace burns at 7 times its necessary heat. No God can save you from its flames or my decreed defeat. Who is that God, you ask, O king, a sneer upon your face, your anger poured on all who your command do not embrace? Who is that God, you ask, your face contorted by your rage? Why, I'm the greatest man on earth, the ruler of my age. I've conquered kingdoms, built great cities, ruled my world, and now you all must worship as I bid you to my image bow. What God exceeds my might and power? Name him if you will. Well, when it's over, you'll be dead, and I'll be sovereign still. The answer from God's children came without a second thought. No agonizing worries of the flame so fierce and hot, no pleading, no negotiating, no remorse or tear. The answer to your question is our God. We love and fear. Our God is able, powerful, and sovereign over all. He'll help us. He'll deliver us as on his name we call. Your furnace so consuming and your image oh so high are nothing to the King of Kings who hears our every cry. That God is our God, and you'll see just what our God can do. He'll help us. He'll deliver us. He'll always see us through. That God is our God, and he is the only God, you see. He promises his children perfect peace and victory. So in the fire, 3 Hebrew children clothed and bound were thrown. The power of the potentate would soon to all be known. The king in smug self-confidence would sit and watch them burn. And all the earth to him would then in fear and reverence turn. The flame so hot the keepers died while casting in the 3. Yet not a hair was singed. They were as safe as they could be. Their clothing unaffected, no alarm and no despond. The only thing that burned on those three children was their bond. But wait. The king's advisors have a startling report. They strain to see with whom these unbound men do now consort. There are four men, the king declares, who in the furnace trod. And that fourth man, he looks exactly like the Son of God. Their bodies were protected. Neither thread nor hair was singed. They never ran. They showed no fear. They never even twinged. The better than deliverance from fury, heat, and flame, the fact that God who rescued them within their presence came. So when the critics mock our faith and freedoms try to take, remember, they're repeating that vain potentate's mistake. Another petty tyrant with another brash decree, another prideful ruler saying we must bend the knee, another unbeliever thinking they are in control, another who would bind our bodies and command our soul, another one who dares to challenge our great deity, another who demands that subject to them we must be. It's just another chance for God's protection to be shown. Another opportunity to make His power known. Another illustration of deliverance and love bestowed upon His children by our gracious God above. That God is our God. He created and controls the world and laughs when petty challenges by men at Him are hurled. He sits up in the heaven doing all He does desire and comes to help His children and walk with them through the fire. So let the heathen thunder, let them threaten to destroy, and let them every power in this world try to employ. But hold this truth fast in your heart as you walk on earth's sod. That God who can deliver us has always been our God. Would you say it one more time? That God is our God.